Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes. This is Carl Schenneman, Director of Legal Analytics and Review at Jurnov. And I'm real excited about today's show because it's an area that I work in. And we're going to talk about concept searching and just what do people mean when they say concept searching. It means so many different things depending on who's saying it. We have with us one of the pioneers of the concept searching and search engine field, Herb Rotblat, Dr. Herb Rotblat, we could say. He's a PhD and co-founder and principal at OrcaTech, LLC. And before starting OrcaTech, Herb was also the executive vice president, chief scientist, and co-founder of Dolphin Search, one of the early search engines in the field. Herb led the design of the Dolphin Search review tools, DIAD and ComplianceSeek. He's part of the team that brought concept searching and native file review to the e-discovery industry. Herb's recognized as an expert in cognitive search, information management, data mining, statistics, and e-discovery processes. He's been writing about data mining and how technology can ease the burden of e-discovery currently as well as for years. And Herb, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Great pleasure.
Okay. Well, let's start off. I always like to ask everyone on the show, how did you first become interested in electronic discovery?
Well, it kind of happened by accident. We were trying to use some technology for doing knowledge management and ended up finding out that lawyers needed to do discovery more than they needed to do knowledge management. And so we had the technology to do it, and we responded to a few things. And at the time, it seemed easy. And then we learned what it was really all about, and it hasn't been easy for at least 10 years.
Okay, well, let's dive into the topic here. We've heard a lot about concept searching over the past few years in electronic discovery. Help us out here. Help the listeners. What is concept searching?
Well, basically, concept searching is using meaning to help find responsive documents. And there are a number of approaches to using that meaning, but they're all revolved around the same basic idea. Instead of just looking for strings of letters as words, rather let's look for words as meaningful things. And we can identify what the words mean using a number of different tools that we'll talk about in a little bit. And once we identify that meaning, then we should be a whole lot better at identifying what documents are about and which documents are responsive and which ones aren't.
Is the term concept searching overused at this point? I mean, are there different people attaching different meanings to it?
Well, there are somewhat different meanings attached to concept searching. I don't know that it's necessarily being overused so much as there are a variety of tools that you can use to get at concept searching. For example, you could use a thesaurus. You're familiar from your intermediate school days and maybe high school, of using Roget's thesaurus to think of other ways of saying things. Well, in fact, people are very creative in how they say things. And your job as a searcher is to try to undo that creativity in the sense of trying to figure out how they could have said something and how you can find it afterwards. You could also use a taxonomy. A taxonomy is a hierarchical list of categories. And in a taxonomy, if you're interested in, say, cars, searching for the word cars, you might also be interested in documents that are in a superset of the category cars, that is, documents that talk about vehicles. If you're interested in various things, you can go move up and down the hierarchy and find things that are that name something at either a higher or a lower level. Then a third kind of system for doing concept search involves an ontology. An ontology is like a taxonomy in that it points to things that are related to one another, but it's different in that it isn't required to be just hierarchical. You can talk about things that are associated. So, for example, lawyer and attorney are synonyms. You'd find that in a thesaurus, but they're also related words for the for a legal professional of a certain sort. The legal professional also might be called other things. There are other words that are also associated with lawyers, like perhaps judge and case and matter. And you might be interested in documents that talked about those words when you search for a particular word like lawyer. Then there's yet another approach to concept searching, and this is the one that I've tended to follow, and that's a machine learning kind of approach. That is, rather than having somebody sit down and explicitly design a taxonomy or an ontology, you can let the documents tell you what words are related. And in this, we follow, say, the philosopher Wittgenstein, who argued that the meaning of a word is its use in the language. And I think that's pretty much right. So back to our lawyer example, any document that has the word lawyer in it is also likely to have things like esquire and judge and case and matter. And conversely, documents that talk about judge and case and matter are likely to be about lawyer, whether the word lawyer appears in it or not. So all of these different approaches try to use meaning to help get at what you're searching for. And then the way they do it is essentially query expansion. So if you search for lawyer using any of these different approaches, what's going to happen behind the scenes, sometimes where you can see it, sometimes where you can't, is going to be a search for lawyer plus judge plus matter plus and so whatever other words your system tells you are associated. And what that's going to do is it's going to bring back documents that are both focused on the meaning of the word at the very top of your list, and it's going to find documents that you wouldn't otherwise think of. So because it's going to search for these other words in context and use the context, even if it doesn't have that particular word in it, to find additional documents that you might not know to look for.
Okay. Typically, at least the industry standard for the last, ever since people started searching for electronic discovery has been word searches. Just, agree on your word terms and then go out and search. Do you think concept searching improves recall rates when searching for ESI more than word searches?
Oh, it certainly does. It certainly improves the recall rate, where recall is your completeness. Have you found all the documents that are responsive? Well, you have found more of them because you've expanded your query. You've searched for lawyer and you've searched for words that have documents that have other words in it. So it's going to improve the number of documents that you find that are responsive. It also has the capability of increasing precision, at least at the top of the list, in this sense, that it brings back. Precision is your accuracy. It's the percentage of retrieved documents that are responsive. It will improve that because it adds the context to your query. So you're not only searching for the particular word, you're searching for its context, and it's going to be more tightly related to what you're actually interested in, or at least what the document collection is actually about when it talks about that word. So it can improve the quality of recall, and it's not so much a choice as word search or concept search, in that concept search is basically a form of word search. It's just a form that includes more information than the specific searcher can usually thinks of by himself or herself.
And that was actually one of the points Jason Barron made in the show we did on search and retrieval is don't put one person in a room and tell them to think of all the words they can think of. That doesn't work very well.
No, and there's a famous study by Blair and Marin that was done in 1985, and it found that attorneys were only capable of guessing at query words that would bring back 20% of the responsive documents, that is, they had 20% recall. And it's not the fault of the search system, because the search system found whatever they asked it to search for. Rather, it was the difficulty of guessing the right words to search. The different parties used different terms to talk about things. The same people who wrote about stuff relative to the accident that they studied used different words to talk about the very same thing. The lawyers figured out three keywords for one thing, and Blair and Marin, the guys who ran the study, found, I think, 27 more words that meant essentially the same thing. One side talked about the disaster. The other side talked about the unfortunate incident. Sometimes they mentioned people's names in the document. Sometimes they didn't. It turns out to be a very formidable problem to figure out exactly what words to search for. And so that's where concept search comes in. It helps you to figure out additional words to search for.
You know, the Gardner Group, in a recent analysis of electronic discovery, talked about a cocktail approach of finding electronic evidence. And the analogy is to treatments for various viruses where you try different ingredients to treat different symptoms. Different cases require different treatments. Do you think that this is the direction search and retrieval is heading, is trying to come up with cocktails?
I think that people would find it very nice if we could say, well, here's a quiver full of arrows where each arrow is a different search engine. And now when you do this, my friend, you don't have to think about your search. You just run this set of tools, and what comes out of it is going to be the document that you need magically in your case. I think about that as a sort of a Hellman's mayonnaise jar theory of e-discovery. West of the Rockies, it's Best Foods, by the way. And the idea is that you throw in a bunch of stuff, and what you pour out are your e-discovery documents, the responsive ones. Well, that's just not the case. I mean, all of these tools that we're talking about are tools. They're power tools. And you can talk about, you know, how good it is to have an electric screwdriver. And you can even talk about whether one electric screwdriver is better than another electric screwdriver at screwing in screws. But to say, are you going to get better buildings if you use electric screwdrivers than if you use manual screwdrivers? I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense. So, yeah, the idea of a cocktail is one that's appealing. But I think it's, in essence, barking up the wrong tree. Rather, what we want to know is how can we go about using the tools that we have in a way that will give us the best results. And it's how we use the tools. The quality of the carpenter is a major part of what determines how good the building is, rather than the quality of the particular drill or the particular power saw that's being used. Certainly, you can build more buildings, and you can probably build better buildings with the right power tools, but it still takes a good engineer and a good carpenter and so on to build a good building that you're going to be happy to live in. So this cocktail notion, I think it's a good idea. I think that people try to do too much all in one query. So if you mean by cocktail, you mean you have to use different kinds of queries to get the same information. I think that, yes, people try to do too much in their queries because they try to have one question that's going to give them the definitive answer, when maybe what you need to do is do a bunch of smaller queries that are more easily understood and more manageable, and then combine the results. So, you know, we're talking about Jason Baron before, and Jason's been very kind to the field in the sense that he's willing to be forthcoming about what he searched for and how he did it. And he talks about the Philip Morris litigation, where he did a query for some very complex things. And one of the queries sounds kind of like this. Master Settlement Agreement, or MSA, and not Medical Savings Account, or Metropolitan Standard Area, or Section 1415, or ETS, and not, and a bunch of other things. I mean, it goes on. The way I have it written out, it's probably about 15 different lines of ands and ors and nots and combinations of things. First off, it's impossibly difficult to understand that. When I first saw a query like that, I said, oh, that can't be right. And it took me half an hour to go through and figure out that just the grammar of the query was right. And then, does it give him the results that he wants? Well, I don't know. It's too hard. But if he had broken it up into smaller pieces, it would have been easier to deal with and easier to understand. Now, what Jason did is had this demand from Philip Morris and to produce documents from the government archives. And so he went through and did a search based on the keywords that he could think of and looked at that and said, hey, that brings back too many documents. So the next thing that he did was to go through and take a sample of those documents and try to figure out how he could limit the number of documents that came back with each query. That's where you get the knots in there, the end knots.
Mm-hmm.
And he revised it based on the evidence that he could get from doing the queries. He didn't just willy-nilly do it and say, okay, that's it, I'm done. Rather, it was an iterative process. And I think that's really a really important lesson to learn, whatever technology you're using, and some technologies are better than others, but whatever technology you're using, examine what it is, think about it, can you do better? Can you get more information out of what you're doing? And use a full process, not just throw it over the wall and hope for the best.
So if we were to go to the cocktail analogy, the mix might be one part process, one part technology, blended to your satisfaction. You know, we're making a well-made drink here, depending on what people are looking to drink, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's more than technology and process. It's also evaluation. That is, you not only have to do, or maybe that's just part of the process, but you have to look at what you've done and evaluate whether you've done a good job or haven't done a good job. And I think that in e-discovery, we've been generally remiss on doing that kind of evaluation. And in fact, I think the standards aren't all that high. The TREC study that came out this year, text retrieval conference that the legal track, again, we're talking about Jason. I hope he's happy that we're talking about Jason so much. But they did something where they compared a small set of documents that had been classified in a previous year with documents that were classified this year, in 2008, the year that they're talking about. And it turns out that of the documents that were in this test that were classified as responsive the first year, 58% of them were identified as responsive the second year. So only 58%. So whatever number there was that in this evaluation that was identified as responsive the first year, only 58% of those were identified as responsive the second year. And of those identified as non-responsive in the earlier year, 18% of them were identified as responsive in the second year. So overall, the agreement was around 73%. And, that's remarkable in the sense that, we kind of have this intuitive notion that if you put a team of people out there to start reviewing documents, that they're going to come up with a pretty accurate set of documents that are going to be responsive. But that doesn't seem to be the case, because if you take two teams and have them review the same documents, they only agree around, in the low 70s. So the accuracy of all of this is not as high as one would like. Go ahead.
That makes it's really hard to evaluate this stuff. I mean, I remember reading in Blair Maron that they spent about $4 million and basically could have kept going, but they ran out of time and money to do a 1985 study.
My recollection is they spent $100,000, but that was back in 1984 when they did it, and 85 when they published it. They ran out of money before they found all of the synonyms for one of the terms that they were looking for, because they were going through it. And this was a tiny, tiny set of documents by today's standards. When we first started, a gigabyte was a huge collection. Now, gigabyte, don't bother me.
And this was 40,000 documents, 350,000 pages.
yeah. That's what the Blair and Maron was. Now 1 gigabyte is, usually 50,000, 70,000. Or even more pages. And when we first started, lawyers would tell us, we know we should be looking at the electronic stuff, but what we did is we took a gigabyte of email, we loaded it into our desktop Outlook, and tooled through it the night before. Now, by today's standards, that just won't cut it.
So by evaluating, maybe one of the ways to approach this is to use some statistical tools, at least while you're on a project.
Well, I think that's exactly right. You have to do some careful evaluation. You have to do some sampling. It's not enough to be haphazard about it. You've got to be systematic about it so that you can respond to questions in court of, well, how do you know that you did a reasonable job? One example of that is the Creative Pipe case, where they said, oh, yeah, we did this, and we had these 70 search terms, and, well, what were those 70 terms? Oh, I'm sorry, we can't tell you. And, you know, the reason they can't tell you, I believe, is because they either didn't keep track, that would be, I think, generous, or they weren't really designed to do what they were supposed to do. But that's just my opinion about it, and I don't...
Well, you should listen in. We're going to have Judge Grimm on a show who authored that opinion sometime in I think, early June. So it should be an interesting show. And I think Tim Opsitnik from our company, Jurnov, is going to be co-guesting with him on that one.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be very interesting. He's quite discreet, though, about his own decisions. He's willing to talk about other judges' decisions, but he's quite discreet about his own.
It is an incredible, useful decision, and I think aiming in the right direction. What do you say are the biggest barriers to getting wider acceptance to doing, you know, using better technology within a process and then evaluating what you're doing? I mean, is it lawyers, judges, corporate clients, bad technology, bad process? I mean, what do you think?
I think it is history. In that the way many of the people involved in e-discovery these days, especially the attorneys, learn their craft was with boxes of documents. That's how they know how to do it, and they want to do their best to make everything fit in the methodology that they learned as adolescents, if you will. Bit of an exaggeration, but people like to do the things that they like to do when they were in their late teens and early 20s. So they learn how to do something then, and that's the way they want to do it. At the same time, I think lawyers recognize that the volumes today are just too huge to keep on doing that sort of thing. You just can't possibly do it. The amount of time it would take and the amount of money it takes threatens to swamp the legal system because it costs more than many cases are worth. So what do? You either find a better way of doing it or you settle. And settling isn't a good long-term strategy because it encourages people to just take advantage of you if you don't want to spend the money. I heard a story about a guy who used to sue AT&T every year for patent infringement, and in order to avoid the cost of discovery, they would just settle with him. So the next year, there he'd be back again, until finally they decided, no, they're not going to just settle anymore. And they actually did the discovery, and I think he went away after that. but you know, something's got to get done, or the squeaky wheels are going to run the entire civil justice system. So what things are resisting adoption? I think it's comfort level. I think that there's a lot of fear that concept searching is a black box. That you dump in stuff and stuff comes out, back to my Hellman's mayonnaise jar analogy. You dump stuff in, you dump stuff out, and you have no idea what was the causal relationship between the two. Well, I don't think that it is appropriate. I think that concept searching is not a black box, nor is it a black hole. Rather, it can be done in a very transparent way that says, this is how we searched. This is what we searched for. This is what we found, and this is why we think we found it. And make it so that you can easily point to it and defend it. Now, people say, well, I've read blogs that say, oh, could concept search ever be defensible? Well, yeah, it can be because judges are asking for it. You know, we talked about Judge Grimm, Judge Fasciola. They're both recommending concept searching.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third objection I think that people have is, well, God, I already have too many documents. If we do concept search, I'm going to have even more. And the answer to that is you may have a few more, but you have an obligation and you have a need, aside from the obligation, to find the responsive documents. If you don't find them, you're opening yourself up for a lot of trouble later on, and you may miss things that will be helpful, that not everything is going to turn out to be negative. Not everything is going to turn out to be expensive. So the intelligent use of these power tools can help you to defend your case, even as you meet your responsibilities for producing information for the other side. So I think that it took a long time to get over the idea that you should print out every document before you review it. And I think it took a long time to get to the idea that you should do searches, not just review every single document. And we've been at this for 10 years, but I think it's starting to take hold, the idea that you should be as intelligent as you can be and use as powerful a tool as you can manage to do your analysis for e-discovery. I think people are getting into the notion of there's value in these tools, and we can uncover that value, take advantage of them, and get a strategic advantage by using good, strong power tools.
Yeah, and the other thing, I guess, is while you might recall more responsive documents this way, I think if used appropriately, you still might review less documents, substantially less documents, than if you looked at every single document, which is what a lot of people still do today.
Oh, certainly true. Certainly true.
So, you know, there is an efficiency angle that could be here too. So, didn't want that to get lost on people. Well, Herb, thank you very much. This has been really interesting. It's a topic that I don't think is covered enough out there. So we'll keep doing it here at ESI Bytes. Where should people look if they're interested in finding more information on search and retrieval?
Well, there's the TREC conference, the TREC Legal Track, and if you search in Google for TREC Legal, you'll come across it. There is the Electronic Discovery Institute that is doing research along these same lines in order to find out how comparable machine-assisted reviews are. And then there's our Orcatech website. We have lots of white papers and other things there that are useful. And that's www.orcatech.com. You can sign up for our newsletter.
Great.
The website.
Well, thanks again. This has been helpful and interesting. We look forward to having you
on
more shows here. And just to let everyone know, for more shows, you could look at our complete library at www.esibytes.com. And just to tie it into the material, we use sort of a taxonomy type of approach to search and retrieval. So if you want to find a show, I encourage you to look in the right-hand scroll bar and track the EDRM model or by speaker name. And a little bit of tagging, but it's a little bit easier to do it this way from my perspective. Just remember the tagline here at ESI Bytes is listen to ESI Bytes before ESI and Electronic Discovery bites you back. Thanks again, everyone, and we look forward to doing another show with you soon. Take care.
Thanks.